Take them and turn to the book of Ephesians. I've just been flooded with the word and thoughts messages that we feel we need to address, and we can't address them all. So we must, by the grace of God, put everything aside and try to stay with this series of messages and lessons that we've been looking at on Sunday evenings. What we believe, or you could call it what Baptists believe, or you could call it this we believe. We're moving through the scriptures, we're moving through our statement of faith, we're moving through our constitution, we're moving through our covenant, and addressing our beliefs, the things that we hold to as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to try and keep moving forward. And the other things will come when the Lord sees fit. We're in the portion of the covenant that says we also engage to maintain family and secret devotion, to religiously educate our children, seek the salvation of kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to walk circumspectly in the world. A few weeks ago, back before Thanksgiving, preached on a difficult portion of this covenant. One of our visitors said on the way out, "Good sermon." That's how he raised his kids. Another visitor said he was glad to see us preaching on the covenant. He said he didn't think churches did that anymore. Those were comments from visitors. I wonder if there were any positive comments from the members, from the membership. But we have engaged, we have promised, we have pledged, we have committed ourselves to maintain family and secret devotion, to maintain our families and our individuals' dedication and loyalty to Christ and to His church. We have also engaged to religiously educate our children, to train them up, to teach them the all things, to teach them the fear of the Lord, to discipline them, which carries with it the understanding to disciple them, to train them, as we've already referred to in Proverbs 22. We engage to seek the salvation of kindred and acquaintances. We are to seek the salvation of our relation. And I think the priority is first of all. I see the Lord saving us and then saying to us, go home. Tell your family. Tell them who are in your kinsmanship that know not Jesus Christ. When was the last time you had a burden to see your relative, that lost parent, that lost sibling, that lost child, that lost aunt, that lost uncle, that lost member of your family who still knows not Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you were really burdened and moved for their salvation and then did anything about it? Did anything about it? We branch out from kindred to acquaintances, neighbors, people we work with, people we are acquainted with, not using the term as it is truly to be understood, using it very loosely. We're to seek the salvation of our friends. And when was the last time we were burdened for them? How often do we as God's people get used to these relatives and these acquaintances and get so comfortable with them that Christ never comes up? That's the last place we ought to want to be found. That's a comfort zone that we ought to want to be pulled out of. Seek the salvation of kindred and acquaintance. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Then we come to this, we also engage to walk circumspectly in the world. To walk circumspectly in the world. The word circumspectly means accurately, pointedly, perfectly, exactly. Circumspectly, you would think is a old Testament word. But we find it here in our text from Ephesians 5, where I've asked you to turn. I think about illustrations, and I thought, well, it's kind of like being in a minefield. We've never had to experience such a thing as that, but we know what a minefield is, a place where there are landmines planted all over. And when you find yourself in a minefield, or you find yourself in an area that is known to be a minefield, and they're all over the world, remnants and leftovers of wars, you would walk very carefully. You would be looking for the signs, the rays form of the soil over it. Or maybe a part of the mine would be exposed. You would walk very carefully, very exactly, to try and avoid stepping on one of those and detonating that bomb. You ever been up in an attic that doesn't have any floorboards, just the rafters? You got to be real careful to walk on those rafters, because if you step between, there's nothing there but the ceiling of the room underneath you, and your foot's going to go all the way through. You might go all the way through. You got to be careful in such an environment. And we say that we engage to walk circumspectly. You promise, I promise, we commit ourselves to walk circumspectly in the world. In the world. And this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 says everything that can be said, I think, about walking in the world and walking circumspectly. In verse 1 through 17, there are three sections all dealing with our walk. Our walk as Christians and our walk in this world. Verse 1 of Ephesians 5, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Be a follower of Christ as a dear child of God and walk in love. Because there are those who don't walk this way. They're identified as the children of disobedience. And they're identified as having the wrath of God upon them. And verse number 7 tells us not to be partakers with them. Walk differently than them. Not to walk in the same steps, not to walk in the same paths that they walk in. Because if we walk in the same paths and we walk in the same ways, well, that makes us children of disobedience. That makes us disobedient children. And God chastens disobedient children. Those he loves, he chastens. Verse number 8, "For ye sometimes were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Walk in love. Walk as children of light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth not make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Walk in love, walk as children of light, walk circumspectly. And the context is all about this world, here where we live and move and have our being. In Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1, Psalm 1, 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Proverbs 19, Proverbs 19. Verse number 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and a fool. We also engage to walk circumspectly in the world. We engage to be just in our dealings. Somebody described that as being fair and square, paying the bills we make, keeping our word. Keeping our word. We have promised and we have pledged as we live in this world to walk circumspectly and to be just in our dealings. We also promise to be faithful in our engagements. The word engagements means our obligations, our appointments. We have pledged and we have promised each other in this church, in the covenant that is before us, to be faithful to our obligations and our appointments. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I read Hebrews 10:25 because it calls us to be faithful in our church obligation, to be faithful in the appointments that we have to meet together as a church in the house of the Lord. We have pledged and promised to be faithful to our obligations and our appointments. We engage also to be exemplary in our deportment. Exemplary, I think we can understand that word. Deportment might be a little bit of a challenge. We don't use that very often in our day-to-day language. The word deportment means behavior or conduct. We have pledged and we have engaged and we have promised each other to walk circumspectly in this world, which involves being just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our deportment. I've read these collectively and I've moved through them quickly. I may or may not come back to them. This might have to suffice as we strive to move on. But I want you to see something here that the Lord has shown me in this recent movement through the church covenant. We have promised, we have engaged ourselves to maintain family and secret devotion, religiously educate our children, seek the salvation of our kindreds and acquaintances, and to walk circumspectly in the world. I want you to think about the Lord's church. Specifically, let's just think about Faith Baptist Church. The church that God has called out from this place and brought to this place to worship and to serve Him and to carry out His work. We are the body of Christ in this place. I have with me tonight the church membership roll of Faith Baptist Church. And I've used this illustration before. I want to use it again. This first piece of paper is the true, genuine membership roll of Faith Baptist Church. See it? You see the names? You're in trouble if you see any names. It's just a clean, pure, white piece of paper. The words do not appear because the true membership roll of Faith Baptist Church, the records are found in heaven. You're not going to find them here. They're recorded in heaven. The true, genuine membership roll of Faith Baptist Church are those who are truly born-again children of God, who have followed the Lord in scriptural baptism and been added by the Lord to this church, and who by His grace have maintained a faithful walk with Him. The Lord knows everybody who is truly on this membership roll. The names are recorded in heaven. Here I have the membership roll of Faith Baptist Church as we know it. You can see the words. You can see the names. You can see the dates of when they were added. We were added to the Lord's church. But it's an imperfect record. That's why you can see the words. It's imperfect because at any given time, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as we know it might have people who are members who aren't really saved or who have made a false profession of faith or whose lives are so wicked that the Lord has removed them in His records. How do I know this? Because Jesus chose 12 apostles to be with Him. And one of those 12 had a devil. One of those 12 was lost. So he was never really a true member of the Lord's church as the Lord started it. And you will find other records in the New Testament of names given of those who probably were not truly the children of God. How do I know that this is an imperfect record? I know because over the years that I have been preaching and pastoring, often, you see the Lord save somebody who's on the church roll, who you assumed and thought always was saved. Can you think back over the years of anybody who came forth and received Jesus Christ as their Savior, who was already a church member and already baptized? Well, if you have any difficulty, look around. There's several here tonight. who were church members, baptized, whose name was on the roll, and the Lord saved them after that. And so you have the perfect record of Faith Baptist Church recorded in heaven, those who are truly set by the Lord. And you have the human record that we maintain, understanding that it is an imperfect work. Understanding that there may be some who have made a false profession of faith, or whose lives are total wrecks. And to everybody whose name is on this church roll, I would say to you tonight, make your calling and election sure. Be sure you're saved. Be sure you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Be sure He's coming again for you. Don't rest upon religion. Don't rest upon the fact that your name is on a piece of paper somewhere, or recorded somewhere in the church records. Make sure you're saved. Make sure that when it comes to the membership of Faith Baptist Church, you're on the Lord's official record that is maintained in heaven. I have always deliberately tried to stay away from trying to get somebody to doubt their salvation. I don't go down that road very often. But every once in a while, it is my responsibility as pastor to speak for the Lord and call every member of Faith Baptist Church to make sure you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Make sure Jesus Christ died upon the cross for your sins, and you have full assurance of salvation. The church, Faith Baptist Church, is a complete assembly of these people, these names. When Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to forsake the assembling together of God's people, as the manner of some is, when Hebrews 10:25 tells us that, he's literally saying, don't desert. Don't desert the complete assembling of the church. If your name's on it, don't be guilty of desertion. Don't be found unfaithful. Make sure you really are sick, not just sick of church. Make sure the providences of God are such that you are honest when you say, I couldn't come to church and it's God's fault. I always try to remind you, that's what providential hindrance means. It's being kept from church and you're being able to blame God for it. That flat tire, that car accident, that dead battery, that emergency call, that whatever. You're truly providentially hindered, and it's God who brought that providence about in your life. The church is a complete assembling of these folks. A complete assembling. When we dismiss tonight, as is the case every time we dismiss our services, after we dismiss and we go our separate ways and we go to our homes and our works and our lives, the focus becomes our families. After this service tonight, we will go our separate ways, and for the next 6 days, God will have the focus be our families. And it should be that way. Amen. Let me tell you something about a family, in case you don't know it. God has made the family a full-time job, a full-time career. God has made the family something that takes effort every single day, and there are no days off. And when we think about the condition of the family in our country today, the condition of the family in the world, we can't just point a finger at the world and say, look at what a mess the world has made out of the family. God's people share a lot of the blame because our families aren't what they ought to be. And our families aren't getting the attention that they ought to be getting. And when we dismiss from the assembling of God's people together, we are negligent to go back to our duties and our responsibilities in the home. And I will not apologize for saying that if you neglect your home, you neglect your family, rather you're a man and a husband, father, or a woman, a mother, a wife, or you're a child, God is going to hold you accountable. Don't be guilty of neglecting your family. And when this service is over, that's where your focus is supposed to turn. To the family until the next time that he calls us together. Calls us together as the body of Christ. This is the complete assembly of the Lord's church here. Many names. And when we come together in church, everybody, as much as possible, should be represented in our services. But never, 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 emphasis, in case you didn't get it, on never, never should a few of the names on this piece of paper be found together discussing and talking about the church and the church members. We're not the church when there's just a few of us together. And we don't have the right, we don't have the authority to talk about the church or any member of the church. God will not hold us guiltless. God will not hold us blameless. When people who are on the church roll get together and they think they can discuss anything and they can get all the church's problems ironed out, they're sowing discord. Amen. They're gossiping. They're being divisive. It's only when we come together in the church as a whole that these things can be taken care of. Our Constitution states we can conduct business, and we do conduct business anytime business needs to be conducted when we have come together in the church. That doesn't take place during the week. That doesn't take place amongst a few. When the Apostle Paul sent the letter to the Corinthians, we're talking about the inspired word of God, the Corinthian letter. What did he qualify all that was contained in that Corinthian letter by? He qualified it by the remark, when you come together, do this. They weren't supposed to do anything before. the coming together of the church. They didn't have any right or any authority to take care of anything when the whole church has not been called together. Remember the golden rule of gossip. It may not be really called that. It's what I've always called it. The golden rule of gossip says this. When two or three people are gathered together, they can talk about the two or three people that are there. When two and three people are gathered together, they cannot talk about somebody who's not there without it being gossip and displeasing to the Lord. Without it being our busybodiness, our putting our nose into other people's business. God has not appointed any group, God has not appointed any committee to fix all the problems that Faith Baptist Church has. He's called us together and he has us iron these things out in the progression of time as one body in Christ. I give you pastors and I give you teachers. Well, why did you give the church pastors and teachers? Why did he give the church pastors and teachers? Not because the church is made up of perfect saints. But he gave the Lord's church pastors and teachers for the perfecting. We're not there. We're probably never going to be there. But we're to be working on it. And that's why the Lord gives us pastors and teachers. And he does not appoint these things to the committee. It's a thought I had for a message. The committee. The committee. God's never been in the committee business. And never should a few members of any church gather together to discuss the whole or to address or to fix something going on in the whole. And I want to ask you, with all the love that I have in my heart for you, Don't despise those that have preached the word of God to you, or those that have taught you, or the parents that have raised you. Don't despise the preacher, the teacher, or the parent that has given you the word of God by being caught up in these committees and these operations, whatever the name that they're given. Somewhere in your life, there's been a preacher. Somewhere there's been a pastor. Somewhere there's been a teacher. Somewhere there's been a parent that has told you and warned you about such things. Don't thumb your nose at all of that by being drawn in to the devil's trap. Some of you have sat and listened to me preach for 22 years. But some of you here had other pastors who have preached these things to you. Those that came before me. Those that maybe you were under in a different assembly and congregation. And with very few exceptions, most of those that could be listed, in addition to me, former pastor and other pastors, I know or I knew these men. And I know and I knew that they believed the same as I'm speaking tonight about these things. And I know that many of them suffer and went through great trials and tribulations because of the abuses of some church members getting together thinking they're going to fix the problems of the church. I have been in the ministry for 45 years. Told you a few weeks ago, the Lord called me to preach. He called me to preach 50 years ago. And I've known a lot of men. I've known a lot of faithful pastors. And I don't know of any that didn't believe these same things that maybe was a part of your life who preached these things and warned. Don't despise them by being caught up in such a mess. Don't despise a teacher who probably has taught on these subjects. Don't despise a parent who took you to church, raised you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and exposed you to these things. I have known so many good, godly, faithful men. And most of them are dead. They've gone on to be with the Lord. But I'm thankful for them. And some of them influenced you, preached the truth to you. You do despite to them when you refuse to heed the words of instructions that they gave you when you were under them. Been going through don't want you to blow it out of proportion or make it something bigger than it is. But I've thought a couple times lately, at this point in my ministry, the Lord has kind of moved me over to the side. There was a time when I preached all over the place. I preached all over this country. There was a time when I had men preach for me, and I went and I preached for men of like precious faith. And I know what they believed. And now they're gone. I can go north and name names. Some are still living. Many are gone. I can go south. I can name names. Some are still living. Many are gone. And you, as members of Faith Baptist Church, have sat under various ones, different ones. And getting back to where my thoughts were, and I thought to myself, nobody would really even take notice whether I was alive or dead. Doesn't matter to anybody. And I think it was Thursday night. Thursday night, Brother Wayne Reynolds called me just to say he was thinking about me and praying for me. Knew I was sick, and his son, Paul Reynolds, up in 12 Ryan, told him about my recent trials. That so blessed my heart. And not bringing the subject up, but in our conversations with the health issues and church issues and sharing just preachers, he's much older than me, pastors in Missouri. Used to be Forestell, but they got a new building, and I don't remember the city's name. Independence Baptist Church. But just talking and talking about the effect stress has upon what I'm going through. And we just communed and fellowship, and yeah, there's a lot of stress in pastoring. And without priming the pump or directly referencing it, he spoke about those that think they have all the answers and can be thorns in a pastor's side, and how that amps up the stress level, which amps up our health problems, most any condition you want to have. I believe it was Friday. I think Brother Reynolds called unsought. I think it was Thursday night he called me Friday. I got a text from this beloved brother up in Traverse City, Michigan. And I had my phone on silence, and I didn't know he'd text me, and I didn't know he even tried to call. So when I finally saw the text, told him, sorry, my phone was on silent. What's up? Anything up? Any problems? And he just called. We talked probably close to an hour. He was on his way down to Wauseon, Ohio. He lost two cousins, one on his mom's side and one on his dad's side, I believe. And he was coming down to go to the viewing of the one, and then the next day going to the funeral of the other, I think the way he explained it to me. And again, without priming the pump, without bringing the subject up, without trying to get him to think along these lines, our conversation just kind of drifted in to the difficulties, those that get into these type of committee and environments thinking they're going to fix the church and do harm to the Lord's pastors. He reflected on a time when he was a member of Faith Baptist Church. The Lord saved him because he's in love with somebody who went to church here. And I'd just like to say, if you knew Brother Randy or Sister Tina, you never doubted their love for each other. It was so obvious. But before he was even called to preach, he had experienced things here at Faith along these lines. Those that reared up their ugly heads. Thought they're going to fix all the things that are wrong. Back Thanksgiving week, you're just going to be patient with me. Thanksgiving week, Faith Baptist Church of Paducah hosted their annual Thanksgiving conference again. It starts on Monday night, goes through noon on Wednesday. And I listened. He had two or three young preachers, new preachers, but he had some old timers too. And it blessed my heart to hear them preach the same old things, preach on holiness, separation, godliness. Brother Lee Hamill, who began pastoring up at New Hope Baptist Church in Mount Morris, Michigan, close to Home Baptist Church when my uncle was pastor there. And I can remember as a kid going to the church there, and he's pastored other places. North Carolina, most recently, currently he's pastoring Zor Baptist Church, Cunningham, Kentucky. He's in his 80s. And I'm going to be rude and crude, just accepted of an apology. I dare you, if you have the guts, to listen to his message. Because in his 80s, he's still preaching about separation. He's still preaching those unpopular things that many of us have been crucified for. Still preaching those same things. That blesses my heart. We engage to maintain family and secret devotion. So you have the church. Then you have your kids that go to church, which probably spend most of their youth not being church members, because this is the way the Lord saves sometimes. But you have the church, and the church has a responsibility to maintain their family and their private secret devotion, to train up, to discipline, to teach, to bring the fear of God before their kids' eyes while they're in the home. The church keeping and guiding and guarding our kids till the Lord saves them. The church seeking the salvation of kindred and acquaintance. The church maintaining what the church is. It's my favorite subject. Maybe you never caught that. I love preaching on the Lord's church. My favorite subject. I've given my life to his church. Me and my wife have served the Lord for 45 plus years now. Left it all. Have paid a heavy price over the years, separated from family and separated from kindreds and acquaintances, and many times just all alone, doing the work of the Lord. Doing whatever it took. without exaggeration, working three or four jobs, different jobs at one time, spending my time cleaning the post office, spending my time stocking shelves at the Meijer store, pastoring, spending my time as a volunteer firefighter. Same midst of all this, cleaning at the local school, then eventually getting my CDL to drive a school bus, just whatever it took, just for our preachers. If God calls you to preach, God gives you some place to preach. He will provide for you. You just need to trust Him. And you need to be willing to do whatever it takes to be where the Lord wants you to be. Don't be too proud to take a job. Don't be too proud. Don't be like some I've come across over the years. Well, the church I pastor is going to have to give me this and give me that and provide this and provide that. May God spare that church of you. That's what my thought was when I've come across that. God calls a man. You'll go. And you'll be willing to do whatever it takes. And you'll never regret it. He'll provide for you as He's always provided for us. And no matter how you look at it, as we come to the end of the road one of these days, we're going to return back to the days of poverty and it's a fearful thing. But the Lord has never failed us. First year I was in the ministry, I'm sharing too much, but I'll feel real good when I'm done. You may not. We went to Alton, Illinois, pastor that first church where there was just three older ladies who were still members. Huge church that could have seated hundreds, deteriorating because nobody was able to take care of it. They called us and we went. Bryan Station Baptist Church gave us, if I remember right, first year of our apartment rent. I think it was $300 a month. Doesn't sound like a lot. But when the year comes to an end and you find out there's taxes due, ooh, nobody told us that. Nobody explained. Nobody gave us any guidelines. And we owe taxes that look like the national debt. I think minimum wage was just three something an hour then. Got a job flipping hamburgers. Went back to a Jack in the Box restaurant where I had my first job up in Michigan in high school. I graduated from high school halfway through the senior year, worked third shift at Jack in the Box in Taylor, Michigan. But anyways, what are we going to do? Well, Bryan Station, I believe, if I remember right, gave us a love offering, helped us get that done. And it was recommended, I don't remember by whom, but it was recommended that I exempt out of Social Security. Well, I'm 20 years old. I didn't see any problem with that. Didn't think anything wrong with that. It was commonplace. Preachers were doing it all the time. Found out just last year, Brother Eddie Bowen did the same thing. He's in the same situation as us. Maybe a little bit better off because of financial things. But that's what we did. Well, this coming year, I turn 65. Guess what I'm not going to have? I'm not going to have that Social Security to fall back on. We're going to have to trust the Lord. We're going to have to trust the Lord. The Lord has provided for us. The Lord has laid it upon this church's heart to give us some funds every year towards retirement, IRAs. But we have engaged and promised to maintain family and secret devotion, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindreds and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly here and now in this world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our deportment. That's what we've engaged. And I was trying to lay out the fact that we as the church have a responsibility to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord until the Lord saves them and adds them to the church, if it's His will. As a church, to seek the salvation of our kindreds and acquaintances. As a church, when we dismiss, we go back out into this world. As a church, we are pledging and promising to walk circumspectly in this world. And remember, as you leave tonight, the focus becomes your family. Don't neglect the most precious thing God has given you, your family. Stop being so busy. Stop being so consumed with leisure. Stop being so consumed with having them be somebody in this world. And take that precious thing called your family and steer it and guide it and direct it as long as it's yours and your responsibility. And remember those who have taught and preached and guided you over the years. Don't despise them by being caught up in this committee garbage. This gathering together of a few. You know what a few people are from a church role? You know what they are? They're a division. Divisions cause divisions. Divisions cause divisions. The church was never meant to function with a handful. The church has always been meant to function as a whole, all members, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And I dare you, I dare every single one of you, find the last time I preached this long. When was the last time? Don't you dare leave here saying he always preaches too long. Most of my sermons of late have been 30 to 40 minutes. You can check it out on the website. A few tweaked up into the 40s. I don't preach long anymore. But I dare you, if you're really concerned about it, you find out when the last time I went this long. And when you find out when it was, I want you to find what was wrong with that message. What wasn't according to truth? Tonight, longer than usual, I apologize to our visitors. I dare you to find something wrong. You won't do it. Not because of me, but because it's his book. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction. He's perfect. I'm not going to have a verse of song to close. We'll be dismissed. If you're here tonight and you're concerned about your soul, about where you're going to spend eternity, and you just want to see Jesus, you want somebody to tell you about Jesus, I'm here. Come, let's talk about Jesus. There's others that are here. They'll talk to you about Jesus. If God is tweaking your heart, squeezing your heart about your need of a Savior, don't leave here. Don't go to bed tonight until you have found Him. And we don't have to sing an invitation for you to find Jesus. He's your greatest need. He's your greatest need. If you're here and you're saved and you've never followed your Lord in scriptural baptism, you can come tonight after we're dismissed and you can say, Brother Titus, I know I need to be baptized. And we'll bring it up before the church if we can't get enough people together one time tonight. First time we get an opportunity. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret being a part of one of the Lord's churches. It's the greatest blessing He gives you after salvation. And oh, how we long to see you do that which brings you into alignment with the Bible, the Word of God. Whatever the Lord might lay upon your heart, you come, I'll be here. Be glad to talk. Let's pray.